The opinions expressed on Inside the Black Box do not reflect those of WREK Radio or the Georgia Institute of Technology. Welcome to Inside the Black Box, a weekly program on science and technology, or as we like to think of it, science only funnier. I'm Pete Ludovitz, and I am joined by my always engaging yet never boring co-hosts, Jennifer Kraft-Levy and Ed Greco. John Gall is working the big board.
Hello, everybody.
Are we trying to be more like Drive Time FM?
Yes.
Welcome to 91.1 FM.
Home of the big science. No, okay.
We don't have any sound effects, though, so...
And we are science only funnier. And my guest today, who was the first lead plaintiff on the Cobb County Evolution sticker lawsuit, some would say is funny. Others would say are funny looking. On this program, it doesn't really matter. So, welcome to Jeff Selman.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
In fact, much of what we do on this show, we're not exactly
sure.
That's
based on faith.
Yet people, are we saying, is this an established fact of science or based on faith? I will take it on faith that you are funny looking. Because that's what you're worth.
Ask my wife, she'll tell you.
It's just opinion.
It's just opinion. I believe there is a new religion forming around that very concept. Jeff Selman, funny looking. That's it.
Okay.
It's okay. All right. So before we get started, the title of today's show is God Sent Me, which is named after the recently released book, God Sent Me, a textbook case on evolution versus creation by Jeff Selman, which sort of catalogs the journey of both discovery and struggle against those that would, mess with science education, even though they don't know much about science. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. It's a little more detailed than that.
Well, but, we're going to get into the details. Well,
yeah, I know. That's why I just said yes.
Okay.
An hour? I thought we were going for lunch and a half.
Okay, so I actually wrote this down. I rarely wrote this down. This is my synopsis of the book, which I actually read mainly in one day, which I never read books in one day, which means I must have liked something about it. A compelling personal narrative of discovery and struggle against those committed to destroying science education despite having more fear of science than knowledge. Da, da, da. For those of you interested in it, you can actually go to our website, insidetheblackbox.org, and find information about Jeff and where you can actually buy the book. I'll tell you, before we get started, what was most compelling to me about it was written in a first-person narrative. The last book I read that was like that was Bossy Pants by... who was
Tina
it?
Fey.
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey.
and I got to tell you... You know, books, whether they're about science, religion, or the struggle between those two, in the first-person narrative, work very well. So just a little bit about Jeff. Was born in the Bronx in 1946. You said I could say
yes, you could say that, yes.
Yeah, despite the fact...
1919, but, you know.
Despite the fact he is old, he is, what do we say, young at heart? Is that what we say?
Yes.
Or just acts like a juvenile? That's... The way your wife
According to my mother, yes.
Okay. So you actually have a bachelor's degree in history with a minor in psychology from Lehman College. You worked for the VISTA program with
yes.
the Navajo out west.
It's now called AmeriCorps.
Right, and that was basically the domestic version of the Peace Corps, right?
Yes, it was.
That was a big Kennedy program, right?
Yes.
That's how old you are. Mm-hmm. All right. So you taught elementary school in New York City for 8 years, both in the mainstream and special ed environments. Has spent 20 years as a computer programming consultant.
He left part of that. He also taught history.
Taught history in New York City High School. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I like the fact that you did your bio as a bulletized list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will point out you are married with one child because many people that meet you would wonder, how is this guy actually married? Actually, your son figured very prominently in the book.
Yeah.
You may talk that a little
bit.
Yeah,
he does.
You know, that was,
that was a
very proud moment when he picked up the mic and said, my dad's not as weird as you think. Let me tell you. I think for every parent, that's definitely a good thing. And you're involved in a whole bunch of things peripheral to this, right? You are now currently the president of Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, the Atlanta, Georgia chapter. But you've been involved with them for a long time, right?
At this point, yes.
And in fact, you have dragged me off to march in the East Cobb Parade.
Yes. We're going again, aren't we, Pete?
When is it, in the fall?
September.
I'm always game. For those of you not familiar with it, it's a weird parade. It's sort of an artificial parade. There's no holiday. It's just a chance for everything from the juggling club of the elementary school to the local politicians to the teachers of the year to the scouts. And they march. And the way they get people to come, all the groups throw candy to the kids on the side. So it's like...
That sounds like the best parade ever.
Actually, it is pretty good. And I will say this. Only occasionally when we march with your group, do people in Cobb County say, Susie, don't take candy from those people. Yeah. Only occasionally.
I don't believe in that one.
Yeah, but they've actually said, put that candy down.
Yeah.
I've actually seen
it. Like there's razor blades in it or something.
It's like Starburst or something. I mean, they're soft. Maybe you could do that.
It's kosher chocolate. It should have been good for everybody.
But it only happens once in a while. So if you're familiar with Cobb County, which is the center of this controversy, it's extremely conservative. I certainly feel your pain. I did comedy at a Democratic fundraiser in Cobb County a number of years ago for the Cobb County Democrats. Not well attended. Let me just leave it at that. In fact, before we get started with this story of the lawsuit over the evolution stickers, let's begin the program as we often do with
Science in the News.
And our Science in the News article comes from Slate.com earlier in the month, June 2nd. It's an article called The Bible Versus the Constitution. Politicians, school boards, principals, and teachers are pushing creationism on kids, specifically in Louisiana. And it's by someone who is near and dear to our hearts here at Inside the Black Box. He appeared on the program back in June 29th, 2011, when Zach Coplin was only a high school student. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was pushing against some new changes that were going to be local near New Orleans. This is after their sort of, religious law that was passed. And he has actually gone out. I've spoken to him a few times over the years. When he went to college, he is now basically an activist pushing for the same of non-pollution of science education and for separation of church and state. And he points out in his article that when a student in Louisiana opens her textbook in biology class, she might not have the standard Miller and Levine biology with a dragonfly on the cover. She might not ever learn about evolution. For some Louisiana public school students, their science textbook is the Bible. And in biology class, they read the book of Genesis to learn the creation point of view. So it's not even as bad as pulling the pages out of the textbook, right? Or what we tried to do, which was it Trenko, the one who wanted to replace evolution with slow change over time for a while? Or was it a different superintendent?
It was a different superintendent. It was, she also was going to, well, let's see. Shirenko started by saying that she wanted, it was up to the local communities to decide what they were going to do.
Right.
Okay. As we all know, that she eventually wound up in jail.
It was a different one that actually pushed us.
Now, you pointed out how old I am, so here comes my dementia. I don't remember the lady after her who said change over time. Carter went after her also.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was a whole
but
big
thing. But she wasn't quite as insidious, right? She was
correct.
Sort of buckling
to, she was to playing things. Politics, and the other one was just playing politics, but really needling it.
So actually, the whole basis of this article is a public records request that Zach Coplin did, where he obtained dozens of emails from the Bossier Parish School District that specifically discussed teaching creationism. Sean Creamer, a science teacher at Airline High School, sent an email to the principal, Jason Rowland, informing him of which class periods he would use to teach creationism. We will read Genesis and then some supplemental material debunking various aspects of evolution from which the students will present. Mm. And there's about a half a dozen in here just pointing out how they were actually pushing this sort of thing. And partway through the article, and actually at the end, Zach points out very aptly for today's topic that all it will take is for one Louisiana parent or student to sue the state for endorsing religion in the public school, and teaching creationism will become illegal again. But for the moment, because Louisiana politicians refuse to take action, Louisiana students are reading Genesis in science class. So what you started in Cobb County, Georgia, is still all over Louisiana. I recently saw Bobby Jindal, who's now running for president, reiterate that very same thing that Shrenko, the former school superintendent, said, that it should be left up to the localities.
The problem with that, because science is not up to democracy. It's based upon evidential things that are happening. We can evaluate and initially make guesses, which is the hypothesis, which, again, colloquially, people mix the words up constantly. They take what's in science, they move it colloquially, and the words are used wrong all the time. People use the word theory in the street as if it's a hypothesis. In science, a hypothesis is not a theory. The theory is after the hypothesis and the evaluation of evidence, et cetera, and it changes then into a theory, which is then basically, you know, the, what we know as the truth.
Do you guys struggle with that in biology class, Jennifer? Right? So the theory of evolution, it's not a theory that two guys who've had a couple beers sitting on the street corner and said, well, my theory is that we parked the car over on Sunset, but I'm not really sure, right? As opposed to that actually being a hypothesis.
I mean, sometimes we discuss the difference between a hypothesis and a theory at the beginning of the semester, but beyond that, not so much.
I really think that's important because it's so overused in the wrong way.
Right.
I mean, I was interviewed on Good Morning America, and Charlie Gibson and Marjorie Rogers were both there, and the two of them kept interchanging the meaning back and forth, and I kept pointing out to them, we're not talking about stuff in the street. We're talking about science here. And they kept doing it wrong anyway, and I kept pointing out, sticking my finger right in your eye.
Right.
You know, and it's
on
my website if you want to see the hoozy.
So, Ed, how about in physics?
No, nothing like that ever comes up in physics.
Because the theory is gravity, and everybody gets it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's also called a law, right?
Yeah, the law of gravity, yes, the universal law or the law. But there are also theories. I would say the closest you might get is if someone tries to ask you about an application of physics to the supernatural. So
that happens?
Really?
Yeah. And so you have to be a little careful not to tread on people's personal beliefs. A few years ago, we were talking about energy, and a student raised their hand in class and asked me, how do you calculate the energy of a soul? And I was,
people have tried it, though.
I was a little confused.
Yeah.
And then, I just had to say, as far as I know, no one's ever measured any energy associated with a soul.
Right.
But, you know, and some students laughed, and another student said, maybe they meant soul, like for the sun.
Oh, okay.
But no, they meant the soul.
I thought you meant the music genre for a second.
But there is a
whole...
Some Motown reference or something.
So probably the geologists are where they might bump into some of these ideas talking about the age of the Earth.
Right.
Cosmology, those sorts of things. But in the physics of the everyday, that doesn't really come up.
Right. So I guess before, and I'll ask you to do a quick recap of exactly what happened with the lawsuit and where we stand right now, and then I think we're going to dovetail into how this is manifesting itself today. So I couldn't help but thinking of the question as I'm reading through the book is school board members in Cobb County, where you and I both live, are elected. And they have done plenty of boneheaded things over the last few decades.
Yes.
To make sure that their constituents like them. You know, there was a minister that ran a little while ago, and I think we've discussed this, who technically really wasn't a preacher anymore. He was the accountant for the church, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure he's doing God's work too, making sure the tithe gets in there. Nothing wrong with accounting. It's a very important thing. But when he ran for school board, the question was, should he paint himself as an accountant as being relatively secular? You know, if he were in Berkeley, California, that might be a good thing. But in Cobb County, I think was it a focus group that actually or advisors said, no, you should paint yourself as a real pulpit preacher. That is more likely to get you elected. I would be less likely to vote for that guy. He was not in my area, so I didn't vote for him. But so they do that all the time.
Yeah.
Are we doomed? You said before that, you know, what was the quote you said before? That, you know, science should not be predicted by...
democracy. It's not based upon voting.
Exactly, right.
In the Penn and Teller show on creationism, which we were all duped into being on. Did you guys see that?
Okay.
Oh,
and you're not going to do the full name of it on the air, right?
No, I'm not allowed to say that, right?
Right, you're not allowed.
Correct.
It's a great show, by the way.
Can
so
I spell it?
You could say BS, right?
It's
Penn
BS.
And Teller BS.
It's BS.
It's an excellent show.
And it was on creationism.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, they took this rabbit and they said, well, Penn is going to tell us the sex of the rabbit, and we're going to vote on whether it's, you know, what it is. And I vote that the rabbit is, you know, male, and he votes the rabbit is female. And he said, there's only one way to know is look at the evidence. So then what's the Penn and Teller? Teller is the one that doesn't speak, right? Now he's getting confused.
No.
It's my dementia showing.
So
anyway, the guy that doesn't speak.
Yeah, Pendulet's the big guy who talks.
Yeah.
Teller's the guy that doesn't.
So Teller bent over near the table, grabbed the rabbit by the hind legs, lifted him up, and was checking out his genitalia. And then he said, well, what is he? And then he drew a picture of Prince.
Okay. So it was, and then people were like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But you can't vote on that. There's evidence as to what the sex is about. The same thing as science. There's evidence that we have to look at and evaluate. And just because 300 people say, no, that's not a dinosaur, that's not really a dinosaur bone, it's this, it's the other thing, you know.
Okay.
You can't vote on it. There's the evidence.
And do our scientists in the room agree with that? Right? That's a no-brainer, right? You cannot democratize what the current accepted scientific theory is.
Yeah. Either the and some people try to overlay that by saying you have the peer review.
Right.
But peer review is not based upon opinion. It's based upon more evaluation of the same data to come up to see whether they're interpreting it in certain ways. So that's not really democracy. That's really more reevaluation. Because even in mathematics, like my son's working on something now, and he thought he had a proof to something, and another professor said, you missed one point.
Mm.
Okay? So that's what the peer review comes in, not to, you know, vote on it, but to find, is there a flaw? Is there a reality? Do we back it up? It's not. That's not democracy. That's evaluation.
But here's the problem. The school board is elected democratically. They want to keep getting elected. Will they always make these decisions based on what the constituents say? Are we doomed?
Well,
is this
here's
like
the
a
problem.
Vicious cycle?
They control what's taught in the schools.
Right.
Ben Franklin wanted public schools with real education done so we'd have an educated population that would be able to truly critically think about stuff and then evaluate and go out and do the right thing and vote for the right people because of the right stuff.
Right.
These guys go out and thwart education. They screwed up the whole math program a few years ago.
To get reelected, though.
Yeah. Well, if you keep the population dumbed down, you can control them because they're too busy trying to stay alive with the menial jobs they get because of the little education they get. And so these guys can control them.
So then are the courts our last refuge to have an objective evaluation of this stuff? It certainly
not
turned
if you
out
look
here.
At the Supreme Court.
No, but okay, I'm not going to go to the Supreme Court. But I mean, you know, at least in this finding, right, the finding wasn't as broad as you would have liked, right? It didn't, you know, cover a lot of things peripheral to this. But it said the stickers must go.
Yeah, well, they use the Lemon Test, which has different prongs that they can do it.
No, the All Lemon Test is based on court precedent. It's not like the Lemon Law.
Okay.
I wondered about that. It's
See,
a three-prong test.
It's a three-prong test.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not really precedent. That's an evaluation of, you know, what's the effect of it, what was meant by it.
Right.
And
but is this named after a case with some plaintiff called Lemon?
Yes.
Right? That's what I want.
Yeah.
So the visions of bad cars dancing
in my
head.
Yeah, I thought it was a Lemon Law.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we won on one prong. All you need to do is prove one prong of this, and we won on that.
Right.
While the intent was not there by what they said the intent was obvious to me that they were trying to win votes.
Mm-hmm.
But the effect of it was that they were undermining a science class.
Right.
Okay, so that got it kicked out. When they appealed on it, and the appeal was weird also because the corporation that does the legal stuff for the board at the time said they would handle it pro bono.
Right.
Because they already screwed up on the lower level, and they were going to promise to keep the...
Did they get paid for the original lawsuit?
Yes.
So then
They were under contract. They were under contract, which is your tax money.
Yeah, my tax
money. As it went to a higher level, they would charge more money, but they said they're doing it pro bono.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the point is, the reason they did it pro bono is because they had their contract renewed. And they came up at the same time.
Okay.
Okay? So, and then we went to the higher court, and the Board of Education lost the petition by Marjorie Rogers that basically started the whole thing.
This was the original petition signed by parents in Cobb County.
Yes,
that
they circulated.
To the
yeah, but they circulated through churches, et cetera.
Right.
You know, and so they lost it. So the appeals court said, "Well, we can't find this evidence, so we'll just remand the thing back down to the lower court," which really ticked off Judge Cooper.
Yeah.
And well, I'm speaking for him. I don't know whether
Judge Cooper was the judge who decided the original case.
And so they didn't want to go through it, and that's how I got involved with Americans United for Separation of Church and State, because they were a supporter of the ACLU during this, and they sent up one of their lawyers, Richard Katsky, and he came in and he sat down, and we came to a settlement without going to trial again that said, going forward, never again can the Cobb County school system ever undermine education in science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just can't
do
it.
It was a compelling decision. Yeah.
Exactly.
It was well written, too.
Yeah. And so that's where we stand now. Now, David Banks, who is on the school board now, when he was running for the first time, said, I'm bringing it back in. They've got to have that controversy in the classroom. So I wrote him a letter saying, go ahead. You know, because you're going to just waste our tax money again because it's a signed contract, baby. You got to go with it.
So I guess what I don't understand is, why is it a constant battle? Why do they keep bringing it up?
Because, again, going back to the very religion, back to the beginnings of faith, people didn't know anything. We had no knowledge. We had no way to evaluate things in our environment. People would see the sun go by and they would say, oh, I don't understand what's happening. That's amazing. I don't know what that is. It must be the controlling force.
Yeah.
And
I would have concluded the same thing 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, you know. I got some people in my neighborhood who do it now. Mm-hmm. And the stars would go by. And so different groups would see these different things at different times. And they formed faith groups. Mm-hmm. And that was wonderful. Faith is a great thing. It's what you know at the time. And mm-hmm. more knowledge comes in, you expand your understanding. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden the groups got bigger. And somebody in the middle stood up and said, I can turn this into a business. And it went from faith to religion. And then it became Microsoft versus Apple, where they were going to compete for, you know, people to join their group so that they can maintain power and get money. I mean, look, you can see some of these, you know, faith-based groups. They're not faith-based. They're religious-based groups that just grow into these huge, huge, humongous things that don't give anything back to the people they're supposed to be relating to through faith.
Right.
You know? And it's just bizarre. I remember one time the controversies had come up just to show the conflict. We were watching in the East Carver Parade one year, and we went by the Johnson's Ferry Baptist Church, and they had mm-hmm. a sign out front that said, Jesus or Muhammad for America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's, you know, why is that a question? It's personal. Why are you trying to cause a conflict here? He's looking to establish more of a conflict within his own grouping
right.
to stand up and keep giving me money so I can keep my job. That's all that's about.
Right.
And he can stand on his head till the cows come home. I don't believe anything else about that.
That'd be
because I see it for too many other people. I'm sorry.
That'd be a very positive bumper sticker if it ended with a period.
Right. As opposed to a question mark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what you're saying is this maybe business model of religion is what differentiates what you call in your book the theocrats versus those that are honestly religious.
Yes.
You consider yourself a person of faith, right?
Yeah. I don't know what's up there. I'm going to find out when I get there, okay. if there is anything. But I am not going to do anything that's immoral to hurt or question anybody else. I've got Muslim friends. I've got Sikh friends. I've got Hindu friends, which are Sikhs. And, I've got Jewish friends. I got ultra-Orthodox Jewish friends. I got, people of my
grouping. Jewish. Your wife is Catholic. How's that working out for you? That's
well, we do have a mixed marriage. She's a woman and I'm a man.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
But I
sorry.
Do you have religious discord in your house? I wouldn't think
none
so.
Whatsoever. No. Right. She's a Vermont, I'm Jew, you know.
Okay. Well, you're from Brooklyn, Vermont, Brooklyn.
Wait, excuse me?
Oh, are you from the Bronx?
Thank you very
sorry.
Much.
Wow.
How do you spell that, Pete?
The boroughs.
Pete, how do you spell that?
B-R-
No. It's D-U-H-B-R-O-N-X. It's the Bronx.
Okay. Gotcha.
Thank you.
X?
Get away with stuff.
Okay, so this is why his editor took most of the jokes out.
Yeah.
Some of them are good. Many of them are not. I'm going to leave it at that.
See me later. I'll tell you the rest of them.
Okay, so then it's really money and power that is the
yes,
motivation.
That's the motivation of religion, not faith, of religion.
Because they're not gonna win the case based on what they're trying to do. And in fact, it was actually Marjorie Rogers
mm-hmm.
who circulated the original petition.
That's correct.
And really ruined their case right in the first hearing of it when I think she was asked, you know, do you believe in intelligent design? And she said, no, I'm an actual creationist. And basically throughout the book, you talk about people confronting you and saying, well, look, you know, we have to do this and we need to give creationism a fair hearing. Well, why? Because it's based on religion, right? It was the internal inconsistent thing that any reasonable judge like Judge Cooper would see,
mm-hmm.
right? Was Judge Cooper particularly, was he conservative, religious? Do you know anything?
I have no idea. He didn't release that to us. And we had a
lot
of contact with him.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
He was so neutral during this whole thing. The guy is really great. I was really mm-hmm. impressed with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it blows me away.
So here's the question. You have a lot of people like me as well. Until you started telling me these crazy stories. I was sleepwalking through life. That's actually what you wanted to call the book.
Yes.
Before you called it God Sent Me. Why'd you call it God Sent Me again?
Because he did. No.
You want to share that
when
story?
When we had won the case already, and the judge told us we had to go to mediation to find out how to remove the physical stickers from the book. Mm-hmm. And so we were sitting in a room, the ACLU lawyers, myself, a couple of lawyers and stuff like that from the board. And we're going back and forth, nothing was getting accomplished. So finally they said, okay, let's split up into two groups and kind of privately discuss how we can approach this, right? So the board guys went out of the room, and I was with the ACLU lawyers and my mediator. And my mediator starts smiling right away, thinking I was going to get, like, rich on this. I haven't made anything on this. I'm not interested in making money off of this case. I just want to get the word out, you know.
How were you going to get rich off this case? You guys weren't asking for damages or anything, were you?
Well, not damages. We were asking for legal fees, which,
yeah,
you know.
Which go to the lawyers, basically.
Exactly, right.
That's why he was smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. The lawyers should be smiling.
Right. And they were. But the point is,
you should see the car this guy drives.
Let me finish my story. So the mediator looks at me with a big grin on his face and he goes, "All right, Mr. Selman, why did you bring this case?" And you can see it in his eyes. He's like dollar signs for me, right? I said, "God sent me." With that, the ACLU lawyers just crack up laughing because they know me. And, you know. So I said, "What are you guys laughing about? The last thing I remember is playing stickball in a South Bronx schoolyard somewhere. What the hell am I doing here?" So they go, "God sent you." And then I said in Yiddish, "Vuden," which means what else? So that's how the title got put on the book.
Page 273 in the text, actually. That's it.
Yeah.
Man, you must have told that story a million times.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the question. For those of us sleepwalking through, and for the people in Louisiana that have the same problem, and this is all over the country, right? Is this a systematic manual for people who are interested in doing this sort of thing? I mean, forget about the logistics. It really speaks to the motivation and what you should expect.
It's motivational.
Okay.
Because, again, I had come down here, you know, and I, doing it through my job, I found a place. I grew up in the Bronx. We had a small apartment, et cetera. Here, mm-hmm. I got a house.
Yeah.
You know, the job I had was really good. My wife was a teacher. My son was fine, everything. We were living the American dream. This is where everybody hopes to get to. And all of a sudden, I get smacked in the back of the head. My liberty is in danger. Mm-hmm. And the liberty is that I don't want somebody imposing their religious belief on my family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or on my country. Keep it to you. I support everybody's right to believe what they want to. They just can't jam it down my throat through the government. And again, when people say God's been taken out of the schools, no, he hasn't. If you got God in your heart and you're walking through that door, he's right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that being said, if a school starts implementing a specific religious belief on its students, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And God is still in the schools because, again, I'm not in favor of taking religious instruction in a history class, a comparative religion class, out of the schools.
Right.
I'm a history teacher. I compared, when I taught to my students, all the different faiths and what was going on, how the Crusades happened, who was fighting this, what was going on. That's okay. But when you try to say God created man in a biology class where you're learning evolution, that undermines the subject. You're not going to teach French in a Russian class, okay? Because they're not there to learn it. They're there to learn the other one. I'm here to learn the science. You don't have to believe in the science, okay? But if you're taking that class and if you want to get the degree and it says you need this course, you take it.
Right.
You don't have to believe it, but you have to take it and understand what the other side's saying. Again, when you come to a history class or a debate class, then you could do anything you want.
So what they like to say is teach the controversy. You have no problem with the controversy being in history, comparative religion, social science, anything where you would look at the controversy in its social context.
Correct.
Perfectly
fine. It's a societal problem. It is not a scientific problem.
Okay.
Because intelligence has no evidence to support itself at all. It's just all hearsay and based upon religion and faith of certain people's way of looking at it.
And I'm looking to the scientists in the audience who obviously have not had enough caffeine. what's the story?
I haven't had lunch. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that it?
I was just grading, so it always kind of takes the wind out of your
sails. I was grading too. I was grading senior design projects, and I'll be doing it till 2 in the morning tonight. But I've had 2 Red Bulls today, so maybe that's the difference.
I've had M&M peanuts. I'm going good.
There you go.
This has not been advertised by either M&M peanuts or Red Bull.
Yeah, that's okay. That's my personal preference.
I only know the peanut thing.
Okay, so when all is done, right, so you've cataloged the whole thing in here. Maybe this is a motivational thing for other folks. I certainly hope it is.
Well, that was the whole point of this, okay? Again, while it's evolution versus creationism in the schools, my main thrust is the protection of our liberty, separation of church and state. Again, I'll back everybody's right to believe what they want to in context of what they understand things are. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they start trying to make it universal and make everybody else fall into it, that's where I stand nose to nose with them instead of shoulder to shoulder. I won't tolerate it. Yeah. I want us to be a free, truly free nation.
Right. So, go ahead.
For those who either didn't live here or don't remember, what exactly was on the stickers And where were the stickers placed?
Okay, it was placed in the front of the biology textbooks, not just anything that dealt with biological sciences, because it was more than just one textbook that got it. And it basically said evolution is a theory, not a fact, and should be critically considered. And a little bit more intense than that.
Right.
Well, again, it's using scientific terms out of context in a science book. Okay? Because, yeah, evolution is a theory, but it is a fact because it's a theory. Okay?
It's the Mott and Bailey where you interchange theory and switch up the definition.
Yeah. If they should have said evolution is a theory and it is a well-known, established fact, but has to be critically considered. But they shouldn't put anything in the book to begin with because it's understood right away. This is a science class. Let's teach the science. You want to debate it, let's take it out into a debate club or into the, you know, the history class.
But here's where we get into trouble. We get into trouble because scientists and even applied scientists like engineers, we call everything a theory, right? We would be willing to throw gravity out the door tomorrow if there were compelling evidence. There's no loyalty.
Yes.
We just don't care. We will turn on you like a pack of dingoes, ladies and gentlemen.
But if that's evidentiary, again.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen. And if I saw compelling evidence against evolution, I would turn on it like a pack of dingoes as well. So when we explain it to people, we get in huge trouble with the public in general, and especially with lobbyists. So Chris Mooney's been on the program before. He wrote a book on sort of this de-scientification of America. It was called Unscientific America, where he says when we go into a lobbyist's office and a scientist said, you know, here's what's happening, here's the probability, and here's what we found, and here's my confidence interval. And in fact, John was in my 2120 class. I may have used this as an example. We get our butts kicked because they say, are you sure? Yes. Are you 100% sure? Well, we're never 100% sure because the 100% confidence interval is plus and minus infinity. So we're never 100% sure. But when you are 99% sure or 99.9% sure, then that's as good as it gets. But the lobbyist who knows nothing about science, who knows nothing about probability statistics, will say, are you 100% sure? Absolutely. Because it's the colloquial use of that. Ours is very specific language. So we always get slaughtered when we do that sort of thing.
And people don't listen to what's really happening. When Marjorie Rogers was on the TV show with me, she said, I have a list here of 300 scientists, okay, that say evolution is not a fact, okay? Well, most of them were engineers. They weren't scientists in biology fields. Okay?
Oh, yeah. I read that part of the book. She did a literature search. And actually, I think at one point, this may be a different example. She searched for intelligent design. I have written proposals to the National Science Foundation where we use intelligent design. Actually, we use the term rational design. That's the more favorable one. But when I say intelligent design, I'm trying to come up with a systematic way of confirming that the design is near optimal. And it means something very different to us. And I think you actually broke it down. The majority of them were engineers who were like, yeah, intelligent design. Because stupid design. I'm against stupid design. Yeah. I'm against stupid design.
And the National Committee for Science Education had a list of 22,000 scientists, true scientists, that understand evolution.
Yeah.
So here you had 300 against 22,000. You figure out the math because I'm a history teacher. Okay. It ain't a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of it is distorting the facts. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're here now. No more stickers in Cobb County. I actually used a picture of that sticker in my comedy act, in my one-man show. And I have to be careful where I do it. I could do it in California, but I did it for the Gilmer County Democrats once. Big mistake. Gilmer County is sort of a northern county. They grow a lot of apples up there, I think. They're big on apples in Gilmer County.
LJ.
Yeah, okay. Nice place. Did it there. Didn't much care for those kind of jokes. Because I think a Gilmer County Democrat is probably like a Chicago Republican or something like that. It was kind of scary.
They didn't take kindly to your type.
They did not take. I didn't get run out of town on a rail. But I haven't had that frosty of a reception since I did similar jokes in Odessa, Texas, which is 21 miles from the hometown of George and Laura Bush. What is that? Is that Richmond? I forget what theirs is, but it was right near there. Told a couple of George Bush jokes. Weren't even particularly bad. And these were college students. They just weren't ready for that. I guess you can't. I've seen people tell Jimmy Carter jokes in Atlanta, and some of them are actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I'm a
fan
of Jimmy.
There's no funny things about W.
No, I think there's a lot of funny things about W, actually. Okay, no so...
Do we call him W?
Can you spell that?
Yeah, so let me do that, and then we're going to go into what's happening now. Okay, I don't even think we need to take a break, but let me at least remind our listening audience, if you are listening to us live, what would today be, the 24th of June, 2015, this Wednesday. By all means, if you've got a question or comment for Jeff on this extremely controversial topic, by all means, give us a call here at the studio at 404-894-2468. Once again, that number at the studio, 404-894-2468. So before we go into what's happening now, what were the big lessons learned? Are you sitting back? I know your wife's, Peggy's thinking, oh, never do this again.
no, she, God bless her, God, she is something else. She's a
So she thought it was worth it?
Strong Vermont type person. She's really, you know, she's quiet, but she's real supportive.
Yeah.
You know, without support like that, how do you do anything? You know, you
what about your neighbors?
The ones right around me are very supportive. Come a few up in the area near where you live, Pete, not to mention any names. They called the, they sent me a letter at one point saying, like, why don't you move out? I'll pay your way out of this place because I'm tired of you wasting my tax money on this garbage.
But you weren't wasting their tax money.
Right. Well,
they were wasting
their
tax
money. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was the other way around.
Well, you know, because I'd had so many threats already and everything, I immediately called the police and they went over to his house.
Oh,
okay. Said, leave Selman alone. Okay.
Was this someone in my neighborhood?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. We'll have to talk about this off the air. Right?
Okay.
You know, as a taxpayer in Cobb County, I'm very grateful that you brought this up, not just for the specific thing about the stickers, but to satisfy a case precedent that we're not going to put up with this stuff.
Okay.
Anymore.
Now, I have problems with the word precedent.
Okay. What is your problem with the word precedent?
As a history person, one of the things that I've seen happen in history is we base things on precedent. A lot of times the precedents are wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, for a long time we had separate but equal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was wrong. But that's a precedent was out there. Right. A lot of things are precedents. 2/5 majority in the Constitution, you know.
Right, right.
It's wrong. So what has to be judged is what's fair and what's right.
Right.
And once you have, and again, here comes the balance. What is fair and what's right, and then how do you know that that should be the true precedent? Like with gay marriage right now, it's a totally religious issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just, and we talked about this the last time I was on show. I'm not going to tell the same story again. Okay. Look it up in the archives, guys. It's what it is. As a citizen, you should have every right that every other citizen has.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason two same-sex right. people can't come together is because of somebody's definition in their good book.
It's the equal treatment standard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Kurt Vonnegut, who was an atheist, put it really well. He said, doing the right thing without expectation of reward or punishment after death is the mark of true morality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had gay friends that got married in New York and adopted children. These are children that were being ignored. They were left in they were going back and forth through forced homes. All of a sudden, they had a loving family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what difference did it make if it was two women or, you know, I mean, sometimes in families in the neighborhood I grew up in, I remember there was a grandmother and a mother, okay, raising a child because the grandfather and the father had died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's two women,
families
you know,
deal with
but
it.
They
yeah.
treated the kid right. They taught him good morality. They treat people right.
Okay.
You know?
So, but with all this behind you, though, it was still worth it? It was still a good thing?
What do you mean?
The book. You don't regret it?
No, the book is great.
The case, the everything.
Yeah, I am not
because you went through
sorry.
Some difficult times.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the letters you got had sort of nasty threats, and it came from a local guy who put his return address on it. That takes guts.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
Well, he was a little demented also. He was. Okay. It turned out he was got the cops on it, and again, and the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, helped me out, get some more police, came in from two different directions. Turned out the guy had... he was a graduate of Yale University, but he was a senior citizen, more senior than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been in a car accident. Now he was living in an assisted living home.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd gotten into this whole religious thing, not faith, but religious thing. And he was calling upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jesus, and Joseph.
And he wrote it in all caps, too, didn't he?
Yes, he wrote it in all caps, and he came after me. He says, I'm calling upon him and all the people like you, you know, to call you to the surface, and we're going to punish you. Well, I got scared right away for my whole family, thinking this could be like the Son of Sam. And he sees a dog telling him what to do, and he goes out and he kills people. Yeah. So I didn't know whether this guy was going to go out and do it because the dog was telling him what to do again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess dog is backwards for God. Maybe that was a pun. I don't know. So, you know, it was just, it was scary. There was a lot of things like that coming in. Different groups around the country, quote, faith-based religious groups, were sending me information to set my science straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just, it was bizarre. Some was scary, some of it was just annoying, you know. Mm-hmm. But so much came in, it helped the post office pay its debt.
Okay. So I guess when I say precedent, the precedent is that, you know, regular people simply will not stand still, will not continue to sleepwalk when they see this kind of violation of separation.
Yeah, I mean, you can't count on other people doing the job for you.
Right.
You have to go out and do it because, again, I started and then all of a sudden more people joined the case. Yeah. Once the light came in through the shutters and got us out of bed, again, mm-hmm. the analogy of sleepwalking and dreaming and all, then we got to work and we won. And that, I hope this book wakes those people up also to say, you can, as an individual citizen, light the match.
Right.
That then lights the sparkler, that lights every room up, that mm-hmm. makes us move and get our, and defend us. It's like anything in a store. When you buy a product, okay, there's a guarantee with that product. And if they don't live up to the guarantee, you buy a radio, it's broken, you bring it back, so you paid for it, you keep it. No, you give me a new one, I paid for it, you got a guarantee, and I want it. That's what you have to do. You have to stand up to guarantee, make sure the guarantees in our Constitution are lived up to, and the government protects us as individuals and doesn't let one group come in and demand the rest over us.
Well, it's funny you use that analogy because when it comes to consumer products and guarantees, as a society of consumers, Americans are really good at that. Your cell phone doesn't work right. I don't know. You know, I'm in the cell phone store saying, hey, you told me I'd have this feature. What's going on? Or my son's using all my data. Or how can I fix this? But the commercial they did about dealing with physicians was nobody asked questions of your doctor. People don't ask questions about these relevant issues in education. Probably don't even ask a lot of these questions with regard to their own house of worship. Mm-hmm. So
they just ask accept. Questions. In a house of worship, you just accept.
Yeah.
Okay, except in my house of worship, the rabbi, and we have every year an ecumenical service for Thanksgiving where he invites a Buddhist who's been in there, Catholics, imam, and one day this imam got up to the beamer, which is the podium in the temple, and he was telling jokes. So he got up there and he said, because the rabbi tells jokes, you might as well get the imam doing it. He says, there's a priest, a rabbi, and an imam, and they have a collision at this red light, and they all get out and they all see their religious people, and they say, oh, let's not worry about it. Just relax. And the imam whips out a bottle of wine. It's probably Manischewitz to get the Jewish guy to drink it too.
Okay.
Pours three glasses of wine. The rabbi throws it down. The priest throws it down. And the imam spills it on the floor. I said, what are you doing? He said, the cops are coming.
That's his one good religious joke. I like that one. Yeah.
So, you know, so you can get along and have fun. I mean, there's no reason to be animistic towards each other.
There you
know,
go. Religious harmony through jokes. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, it works. It works.
You know, it's really neat to see the idea that you can impact a difference. I'm from North Dakota, and I'm from the blue part of this red state, and my high school biology teacher would not teach evolution, and through the subjects leading up to that, like all the slides had a faint little cross in the corner, whole nine yards, and I mean, I wasn't gonna do anything. This is a teacher. They have the weight. It didn't even occur to me.
It's the weight of authority.
Do anything else.
My AP biology class, I dropped it after the first semester because, and the principal asked me why. I said, well, because the guy's teaching creationism in class. I just wouldn't do it. And this wasn't in North Dakota. This was in a very populated suburb of Chicago, right, with a school district that had a lot of money and things like that. So I think the teacher got in trouble, though. So you can.
You should have said something.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah, but it just depends. Was it a very rural school district?
One of the bigger cities, but
okay,
still North Dakota.
Still North Dakota. Yeah. And you know, the guy just didn't teach evolution, didn't teach creationism, just stayed away and was, you know, stuck with the hypothesis side of the theory, word theory.
Okay.
So it was tough. You don't know what to do, especially as a teenager who doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the responsibility of the school board. That's, I think, exactly the point you're making.
Something popped into my head. Somebody I know brought up the fact that there are certain fossils, quote, fossils that are found that are soft tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, an apple rots in the refrigerator even if you leave it there too long. How could you find, you know, a fossil that's 10,000 years old if it's soft tissue? And it, to me, it just seemed obvious. If something gets locked into something, because what causes things to get decompose? It's the bacteria and other things that can get at it.
Right.
So if it's locked into a rock or something that happened to it that, that sealed it off, you're going to find it as soft tissue. It's not necessarily going to be, you know.
Right. Are they actually finding a mold of the soft tissue or the actual soft tissue itself?
Some of the articles he showed me that from his viewpoint where it was soft tissue.
Yeah, so I'm turning to my biologist and realizing if there's no oxygen presence, you can actually get much more preservation of things that, you know, like we think about petrified trees, right? Cellulose, pretty sort of hard tissue kind of thing. But yeah, you can see more details in certain fossils that were preserved in a certain way if you have a non-oxidative environment, things like that. I mean, that's the basis of mummification. Dehydration, things like that.
He said, no, it can't happen.
The dead animals they find in bogs that are just perfect.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're never perfect, but water and oxygen are your enemies for biological processes, right? You don't have those two things in general. You have problems. Do you need some more caffeine? Normally she's like, Ed, you had a question. You were about to say something before.
Oh, yes. Well, when you were talking about it takes a spark, it was making me think of right now and the Confederate flag. Right? I mean, it's just a spark. It's been like that for since I've lived in Georgia, 2000.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, governor of South Carolina has not budged on this. Boom. The next day she's like, well, we need to take it down.
And now the other states, right? Kentucky with Mitch McConnell talking about the Jefferson Davis statue. And it's just, it's amazing. The one spark and it's enough to get people to come out and
well, certain things belong in history in a museum.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But to have a flag, you know, that represents number one, it's anti-American. Okay. They can stand on the heads of the
house. Come on.
They broke up the American country, or the United States of America. That was, you know, if you're claiming to be a patriot, don't wave that flag in my face. That was a symbol of splitting the country. Okay. Number two, after that, it became a really racist symbol. The Ku Klux Klan was doing it and everything else. So that's wrong. Again, when we talk about precedent, this is what it was used for. Don't tell me what you want to.
More times than not, it was used that way as opposed to.
Yeah, just because your great-great-grandfather. And somebody said they had a sign out in front of the Capitol building there saying, my great-grandfather fought in the Civil War, and I'm proud of him. Take the flag down.
Okay?
Because, there's a history there. You can't deny that. But now it's taken on a different picture.
What's funny
picture.
Is, and this is why maybe the personal narrative works the best, because you have to relate to people on a personal level. The logical argument for taking that flag down has existed for many, many years. And in fact, I want to thank Jennifer, because I iterated the exact same argument you put on your Facebook page. I'm trying to think of an argument. You know, I'm a middle-aged white guy, right? I'm the guy that has more privilege here than anyone, or at least on the surface. I'm the weird middle-aged white guy. They don't have a lot of work. Ed and I, we're marginalized in certain ways because we speak up and disagree with people. But if you just look at me, right, if I get pulled over by a cop, my odds are pretty good just because they look at me and then they're like, what? Chemical engineering and you're a comedian? Actually, that got me out of a ticket with Lou Lufton in Houston, but that's another story. So it's hard for me to think of it. You know, what is it that you know, my ancestors have done? And there's a lot of imperialistic things that the United States government has been involved in I am not proud of. And when people say, well, I fought in this, no, I'm not proud of it, and you shouldn't be proud of it. But there's nothing with an overt symbol of it. You know, the Shah of Iran and the politics we played with other – there's no symbol of it that anyone wants to put there. But the best one I could think of, having worked in Germany and visited Germany many, many times, is German government doesn't let any swastikas or Nazi flags anywhere. And you made a good point talking about museums. Go to one of those museums. I've been to the museum at Dachau, the concentration camp, twice. Absolutely fascinating, most interesting educational thing you can see, but no one's putting it on a government building saying, hey, let's celebrate. They're saying, look what happens when things go crazy. It's so museums, yes, but take it down. The German government is very systematic about that sort of thing. You can put it on your own private property. Actually, they're trying to restrict that as well. I don't think you should. I think we should ever restrict what people do on their private property if you want to be a crazy person. That's
you're just
going to really
draw
sad.
Attention to yourself from the opposite yeah. side. That's all. So, you know.
So speaking of logical arguments and crazy things that are happening, what's happening now? So you won this lawsuit, but still,
yeah.
crazy things are happening.
Well, again, the main drive behind me getting involved in this is the separation of church and state.
Right.
And as president of Americans United in this area, people get in touch with me as soon as they find out that there is something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group that they're called Rise Up for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is at one of the schools in our neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
And somebody contacted me about this, they have high school students coming in the afternoon for the after-school center,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they wear these, and they give out these shirts that have Rise Up for Christ on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out, and they talk to these kids that are left in school because their parents can't come home to pick them up. It's the after-school
right.
program. And they tell them, you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
A little harsh.
Yeah.
That would bum me yeah. out for the rest of the you day.
Know, seems a little mafia rackety.
Yeah, but they again, these are older high school students. And
do they have this on a cool-looking all-cotton T-shirt? Because
yeah.
that's really how you get kids.
I should have brought you the picture.
We know that at Georgia Tech.
The woman at the school sent me a picture of these kids wearing it and stuff, you know?
Okay.
You know, and so...
Actually, I have a little experience with that. When second grade, my parents moved to a rough part of town, mm-hmm. and they didn't want me to go to the public school there.
Mm-hmm.
So they enrolled me in the Christian school
okay.
there, but my folks aren't religious at all. Okay. And first week of school, big auditorium, and principal gets up, he's talking about Jesus. Anyone who has not accepted Jesus into their heart, raise their hand right now. I didn't know what he was talking about. I raised my hand, and it was very awkward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There was a scene in a movie recently about this. Oh, man, what was it? Where the kid... So what people don't realize is that... I went to a Catholic school when I was younger, and a lot of times you go to Catholic schools because if the public schools aren't all that great, at least you know there's discipline in there. And if you met Sister,
yes.
you met Sister Mary Neri, my fourth grade math teacher, you'd know why. I think she could take Hulk Hogan. I really do. So I understand that, but believe it or not, there are... Catholic schools in the Atlanta area that have a requirement for diversity that they have at least 10 or 20% non-Catholic students, which I think is a good thing. And I don't think what we're saying here is that religious groups that try to examine religious issues are necessarily bad. To be honest, when you talked to me about we were talking before the show about the religious freedom law here in Georgia, mm-hmm. big advocate of the religious freedom law. It was some women's group, women for this kind of thing. Unfortunately, I left my notes in my office. They had talking points. I love it when people give you talking points because you know that's always trouble. One of their talking points was here at Georgia Tech that we only have one tiny area for freedom of speech. For those of you that are here, you know it's the old amphitheater by the First Center for the Performing Arts, which is where you have to arrange it ahead of time. Any crazy person, and there are some crazy people over there, can go over and do that. But if you want to use another area, you have to have either be a student organization, a campus organization, or have some relevance to that.
Mm-hmm.
We in no way restrict organizations. I'm going to pick one that I disagree with their views, but I think they're a class act. I think they do some good stuff. The Veritas Forum. They use our big auditoriums and things like that. They have debates. I was in one of their debates. I was the atheist guy talking to a religious guy from MIT. They examine God and science and scientism.
Oh, I remember that talk.
Yeah.
Because I had a physics
they do some good
public
stuff.
Talk. Yeah. Right before that, and almost no one came.
Oh,
but everyone came to your talk.
Oh my God, they're good. No, that wasn't me. They fill the place, so that's like a 350 person auditorium. Yeah. They'll put 400 people standing room only in that thing. They're very good at that, and actually, they interact with an organization I'm involved in, which is the Georgia Tech Free Thinkers, and they're very open about stuff. You know, they have a religious perspective. They are religious people. But they put together outreach programs where people debate and they talk. They are a registered campus organization. The other point that this talking point made, that they don't give money to religious organizations. That is not true. The Veritas Forum is a registered student organization, which means they can apply to the Student Government Association for funds. I think if it is an overtly religious thing, you can't have a Catholic mass. You couldn't do a bris in the Clough
Thank
Undergraduate
God.
Learning Commons.
If you don't know what it is, ask somebody else. I ain't going to tell you.
comedy
it's not
gold.
Good.
Comedy gold. That's all I have to say. But the point is, you can have organizations that are based on a religious principle do all kinds of things on campus. And I tried to reach the Veritas Forum to see if they've gotten money. And I wrote the president who I worked with on that thing. I said, I think they should get some student funds to put on these very educational, interesting programs where they debate. They teach the controversy. And the controversy is a historical one. It's a religious one.
It's
a social science one.
It's in context. And that's where it should be done.
Absolutely.
You know.
So are you taking on the Rise Up for Christ?
Well, we're evaluating what's happening now. I'm trying to see what's going on at the school. We've contacted the principal once. Mm-hmm. No response.
Okay.
And I've contacted National, and they need more information. Unlike the ACLU, which has they have local chapters like Americans United does, mm-hmm. they also have local lawyers mm-hmm. working with them. We have all the lawyers because unlike the ACLU, which has all civil liberties under their belt, mm-hmm. Americans United focuses on separation of church and state.
Right.
So we're not as big, we're not as broad, you know, in our view on things.
Right.
And so our lawyers are all in Washington. So it's a little slower process with us.
Okay.
But the ACLU and us work hand in hand together. And so we're going to get something done with this. When? I don't know, but it'll happen.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened, somebody called me up about 6 months ago. They're Buddhist. And they were working for a Christian charity. Mm-hmm. Not working. They were volunteering for it. And they were unemployed. And a position opened up within the charity. And they applied for it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things on the application was, what religion are you? And as soon as they saw they were Buddhist, which is really more of a philosophy than a religion, okay, they said they wouldn't hire her.
Ah.
Okay. Now, I don't know whether this group is getting federal funds, state funds, or whatever, but if they are, you know, if it's contained within themselves,
right,
then I don't like it, but that's contained within themselves. They can do that. But, you know, if they're, it's just...
Right.
So somebody's trying to help. If they're out there trying to help,
accept it. If they're incorporated, if they are a, you know, Chapter C corporation or
it's
something.
It's like Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Why they are protected from, because of their religious beliefs, they're dealing with the public.
Yeah.
They don't have a right. If they want to, and some people say, well, you know, let capitalism grab them then, and, you know, people stop buying from them. Again, we're sleepwalking through our democracy. Half the people don't even know what that case is about when you ask them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they only got to buy my hobby thing there because that's what they sell it cheap, you know. But they're violating a lot of things that really our liberty is. If they don't want to be a public organization and they don't want to be out there selling to the general public, because, again, you go back to this whole thing with RFRA, okay?
Mm-hmm. This
blacks
is the
weren't
the
allowed
Freedom to, of Religion bill.
If blacks weren't allowed in restaurants,
right,
whether they were black bathrooms and white bathrooms, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
We're citizens. We're people. We're humans.
Yeah.
We all should be afforded the same rights within our government. This is, you know, a constitutional democracy that protects citizens' rights. You can't deviate and say this one can't do that and this one can't do that. So if you're a business and you're open to the public, you've got to address the whole public and not isolate and say, well, I've got people who work with me for Jewish, and so, you know, we're going to serve wine on New Year's Eve, but we won't do Manischewitz. Come on, you know? It's wrong. You've got to treat all the people the same.
Well, what if they say Manischewitz just isn't good wine? Could they get it?
My son might agree with them on that. Excuse me? I thought we were friends, Peter.
Look, my taste in wine is no commentary
you got
on
no
the fine
taste.
Work you've been doing.
Manischewitz is sweet, baby. It's sweet.
Okay.
Okay.
Your taste.
Are we still friends?
Yeah.
Okay. I love this guy.
I believe you have the right to drink whatever wine you want. And certainly, I am
don't
no sommelier.
Don't cry about it because it's whining.
I am no sommelier
but,
myself. So
I like him. He keeps doing the pachonch.
It shouldn't. That is the shtick.
God,
that,
I hope my wife's not listening to this.
That you definitely should be doing. But it's funny. You go back to this thing. The ACLU. Yeah, I'm watching the time. We're about to conclude here. Didn't want to take this case at first.
Wasn't that they didn't want to. It's that everything
busy?
Has to be vetted through a system. Because there's so many things happening, they have to decide what they want to look at any given time.
Right.
So, again, it's in the book. When I called up, I left a message. I got a voicemail thing. So I left a message. Nobody got back to me. And then I called up again and got the voicemail, and nobody got back to me. So I was getting nervous. So I said to my wife, Archie Bunker. Mm-hmm. And she says, what Archie Bunker? Says, Archie Bunker. Norman Lear did Archie Bunker, and he started the People for the American Way. Get me the phone. I'm going to call up the People for the American Way, see if they'll do it. And he says, don't bother. The ACL called back. They want to talk to you. Yeah.
Okay. That and many other stories of the personal, I guess, journey of discovery, transformation, and the story of the struggle against the Cobb County evolution warning stickers in the American Civil Liberties Union suit that ensued, eventually getting settled and removing those stickers. Mm-hmm. So the lesson, the take-home lesson that we'll now explore at the end of the program, the part we call What Have We Learned, is one person can make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it's something big about the, you know, messing with the way we teach science here in the state of Georgia and the related issue of separation of church and state. Seems to be a constant battle. Seems to be continuing. Yeah.
Well, again, in the school board, David Banks again, during the invocations that they have, and there's, you can, the ruling has been they can do invocations, but in a school board, it's different than a general government auspices.
Right.
Like in Cobb County, they can do the prayers, but they have to allow everybody who wants to do it, do it.
Yeah,
in
that's a separate battle that you talked to me about.
But David Banks goes out there and he praises Jesus during invocation at the school board. So we're looking into what we can do about that, because that's an overstep of the grounds that they're allowed.
But maybe I think the conclusion is that it's really sort of this business power struggle that doesn't come from the honestly faithful, right? And you consider yourself a person of faith and scientists. I don't think there's a lot of struggle between those folks. It's really what you call the theocrats. And it actually has to do with this wedge issue, which you discuss in the book, which has been discussed in the Dover
Philip
case
Johnson
and things
and
like that, right, that they're trying to use it to wedge in between there. And one of our problems, again, is this whole theory versus hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that scientists and applied scientists, very conservative. Theory means something very different to us. We'll never tell a lobbyist we're 100% sure about anything. And that's the nature of it, because we are fair weather fans when it comes to science. You know, you have some evidence, you know, the Braves lose 3 games in a row and suddenly we're turning on them and we're willing to just go ahead and do it. But hopefully this first-person narrative will be an inspiration for people that see this sort of thing in their neighborhood. For example, in Louisiana with Zach Coplin talking about it continuing there. Just takes one person.
Yep.
I want to say to be brave enough as our guest, Jeff Selman, but I'll say crazy enough because I know you extremely well.
The Bronx. It's not bravery. It's culture.
Okay. whatever you want to call it. To start this sort of thing, and then with the help of organizations like the ACLU, things can change.
Yes.
Did I leave anything out?
No.
Yeah. For those of you interested in the book, you can actually find a link to it on our website, insidetheblackbox.org. Thanks, Jeff, for being on the program again.
Thank you for having me.
And for anyone that has a question or comment about this program or a suggestion for a future show, by all means, send us an email at comments@insidetheblackbox.org. We are a production of the WREK Studios here on the campus of the Georgia Institute of Technology, and our theme music is composed and performed by Bill and Mary Hunt. Please join us next week for Inside the Black Box, Science Only Funnier.